We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be in verse 26 today starting. I was thinking on today's scriptures, and I think that all believers need to stop and truly think on what God's telling us. I will say this probably each and every week because God's word is so holy and righteous. What is going on in the church in Corinthians, or Corinth, excuse me, they're Corinthians, but in Corinth. The same thing that is being told to them, it is for us also today. And that's, we need to understand that. This is the living word. The Bible is the living word. It is God's word to all of us in all generations. Not many, when you think about this, not many Christians came from a noble birth or were considered among the very wise or powerful. Not many Christians were thought that way. None of us should think that we're better than anyone else, by no means. There are times, though, that we might think we are better than others because of, education, maybe where we are born or where we live, what jobs we have or have had, that we might think, maybe we are. But all of us have no excuse to criticize others or maybe ignore people based on who we might think we are. And we have to watch that. We have to be careful for that. Now, I could say this about all scriptures, and I truly believe this, but we need to plant today's message in our heart, and it's everything. When we study God's word, it's got to go to the heart. And that's what we need to always ask for, because that's where God will do the changing in us. In this, I ask that all of us ask God for that humble heart. A humble heart. Because we can become very prideful at times and think we're pretty self-sufficient. So let's take a look. Let's read it while we're studying today. It's in verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written that the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. Well, Paul starts this out and he gives us some thought. And all of us have to give some thought here. For consider your calling when God called you. Not many of you were wise. So if you're like me, you're not the sharpest pencil in the box, which, okay. Not many were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful or had that noble birth. No, we're just regular, ordinary people. And Paul starts out with the circumstances in which God called you. And I think we need to think about that. Majority were not of noble birth. And you know, it's funny, my son-in-law his mother is English from England. And his dad was in the Air Force, and that's how they met. Got married and all that, and they lived over there a little bit. And they just had an opportunity to go back to England for a couple of weeks. And I got to thinking about the noble birth. You know, they're the king, the queen, or whatever, who's ever kids, and it just keeps going. That's the ones who have that noble birth. And it could be also, you think about like the Kennedys. Everybody knows and how they have that. There's a lot of that. So Paul's talking, not many of us were noble birth, by no means, or being in that intellectual crowd. or philosophers, or we're part of any of the political powerful classes, you know, Rockefellers. Hey, you can think about all that that's going on, and those families kind of maintain that situation all the way down through time. The Corinthian church, though, here's what was very unique about the Corinthian church, is that they had been gifted with many of God's spiritual gifts. We will get to that in this book, chapters 13, 14, so on. If probably in this church, too, probably had all the gifts, prophecy, tongues, teachings, all the different things. And even in the church today, these gifts can cause some things. People that have them, it can bring on pride. And we know what pride can do. Boy, it's one of those mean things, pride. So all of us need to keep an eye on ourselves, watching that. Not allowing that pride to raise its ugly head. It's really an ugly head. We need a humble heart at all times. And so I encourage you, pray for a humble heart all the time. That our hearts be humble, because the humble heart, God can work with. The prideful heart, it's not good. So Paul's telling the Corinthian church, and he's telling us all, even today, look at yourselves. Look at yourselves. Look at the church. Not many are wise or powerful. Well, we look in here. We're out in the middle of, well, lush green grass and beautiful trees and flowers everywhere. Well, you probably find one. Go to the Staters. I think they got some in the flower thing. But we're out in the middle of a desert. Okay? That's the way it is. Paul's telling us, hey, look at yourselves, in which we can. We can go, yeah, we're not in that crowd. The wise here, though, that Paul is speaking to is about being wise after the flesh or after the worldly things, is what he's talking about. They live, excuse me, they live for worldly desires. Look at Proverbs 3:7 for me, please. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That's a humble heart. When you start to think you're pretty darn smart, you're heading for a fall really quick. And you think about that. Lord, it's all about you. It's all about you. Just think on how many extreme wealthy or powerful or politicians or worldly leaders does God call? Most live for that. He does call some. And what a blessing. He does call some. And that's a blessing, but not many. Because their focus is on that worldly stuff. As I was going through and thinking about this over and over again, I was thinking about the prophet Obadiah. His writings are in the Old Testament. He has, I don't know, it's listed as like one chapter. It's just like a page and a half or whatever, Obadiah. And to get an understanding of the prophet Obadiah, he wrote to Edom. Okay, which were the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. So if you've read on Jacob and Esau and how Jacob went, this would be the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. And they were in a conflict with the Israelites, which are the same people, the Jews. They're still part of this. And they were very, very wealthy. And they were very powerful. And the Edomites were very prideful. And God gave Obadiah this vision. And I'll encourage you to read it later today. It'll take you 10 or 15 minutes maybe. And I pulled a couple of verses out for us. Put up Obadiah 3 and 4 for me, please. This is God speaking. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who lives in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling. You ever notice how the rich and all that, they live in the high, the fluting. Who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? I live up here in the wealthy, powerful. Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. Think about that in far as people, powerful, wealthy, and everything. They're up there, and God's telling them, yeah, it's not for very long. And the one thing about pride, and maybe you can catch this, because maybe you've caught yourself being prideful, like I have at times, all of us probably have. Pride has a way of building upon itself. Once you start allowing that to pride to fester, it can kind of just keep adding on. So we got it. This is a letter to us. Watch it. Be careful. Pray for that humble heart all the time, because we don't want to get prideful. I don't want to be told that from God. So here Paul goes on and he says, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. So who is he talking about? Us. About time you think you're real wise, well, wait a minute, God chose us. Think you're pretty strong? God chose us, so we're not. God has chosen from the world those who the world would look at and seem foolish, weak, or despised. Huh. You know, I've had many people tell me throughout my life, you just need a crutch. God's your crutch. Yeah, I'll take a couple of crutches and a whole hospital from God. I'll take whatever it takes. I don't care. But it states God here chose the foolish and the weak to shame the strong. Well, welcome, foolish fellow patrons. We're the foolish, we're the weak. So that right there ought to humble your heart down real quick, because he chose us to be his. So about next time you think, well, I'm pretty smart, or I'm really strong. And, you know, I understand we're all post-40 now. We're not that strong anymore, are we? But God chose them. God seems to call the humble of heart, though. He truly does. And praise God, folks, that we're part of that. Man, praise him. The word says God chose the weak, or you can use the word chosen. It means, when you look at the original Greek text in here, it's talking about they're not able to save themselves. Are we strong enough to save ourselves? No. Are we wise enough to save ourselves? No. But what we did do was God chose us. It's talking about salvation. Salvation. God is the only one that can save man. And we realize that. We realize we can't save ourselves. And as you get older, you realize, I can't even do half the stuff I thought. God does not call many outstanding people. He calls the humble people. That's real comfort, real reassuring, and also eye-opening. We're not that wise, we're not that strong, we're not. But God called us, and we can praise him so much for that. So much that God called us. But I do think about how he does choose and pick wise, strong people, like King David. Wow, what a mighty man that God called. But I think about David so much. In fact, one of his psalms this morning, as I was going through my own, just stopped me in my tracks, and I couldn't think or do of anything else except think on that psalm. David is the only man in Scripture stated that God says, that man is after my own heart. You know, that would be the greatest honor all of us could have, is when we go to be the Lord, God tells you, you are after my own heart. You want to talk about a crown of honor? That's it. So why does God do it this way? He chooses the weak. He chooses the not influential, nothing. Why does he do this? Well, many of the wise, and you think about this, many of the powerful, they have a way of looking upon those who have little or nothing just as things. That's us. Many times people that have that wealth, that power, that nobility, look upon us to be used to further their wealth, their power, their whatever. We're just an object. An object. I love how God chooses everyday normal people to shame those. That's us. Yeah, some people may see Jesus as a crutch. Good to have a crutch. As you know, as we're all in that post 40, that crutch helps us get right along, don't it? Two of them, really good. And sometimes he carries us. So it's pretty darn good. Most of those people, when he's saying God didn't choose them, most of the, and you think about this, wise, powerful, or extreme wealth, see little or if any need for God. The struggles we go through, they don't know anything about them. How are you going to pay the rent this month? How are you going to supply food? How are you going to, I got this health situation. And I may or may not have health insurance or whatever the case may be. But God is there. And that's what's interesting. Even these people, they don't understand the needs. And I'll read articles from time to time about people will write in and talk about, did you ever notice when somebody was that you went to school with was extreme wealth? And some of the stuff's written is fascinating. Like, a lot of them don't even understand the fact that they just can't pick up and go fly somewhere to have lunch somewhere. And I'm like, who does that? Well, there are a lot of people, and just things like this that go on. And they have so much power, wealth, whatever you want to call it, that they don't even question if there is a God who's sovereign. They don't need a God. They have everything. What is really sad is most of these people won't even take the time to find out if there is a true living God. They won't take that time. Praise you guys. We're all that grouped into that weak. Not very smart. We're all in that one big bag that God chose. What a blessing, folks. What a blessing. When it says here that Scripture talks about the weak, when it says the weak to show the strong, it's talking about the less important or the insignificant, dispensable. And we have no influence on what happens or says, none whatsoever. In other words, common everyday workers, the poor, the deformed, the helpless, just people that have to go and have or work their life hard all the way to make it through. And I think how that really comes about. And one of the things that I think has really happened here, and I see this, have you ever heard the term, God helps those who help themselves? So we've all heard that. But God has laid on my heart to praise him because God helps those who can't help themselves. Amen. And there are a lot of people who can't. We've been blessed at this church. We've been able to reach out and help a lot of people. Help a lot of people. Praise God. Then the scripture, it says that God chose what is low and despised. What is low and despised? If we go back to this time period at this church, at this particular time, many of those who were of this church were slaves. were slaves. They weren't looked upon as people to the powerful. They were a tool, an object to get what they wanted. Slaves to build a bigger castle or whatever the case it was. They're just objects to be used to further their advancement. They weren't of the upper class of society. Okay. Now, we don't see everyday people living in Beverly Hills, Martha's Vineyards. We don't see that. There's one in Miami. What's that island called out there? I forget what it was called, but we were watching a show on it, something. Modern, everyday, humble people don't live there. They live outside of those areas, and they go in there to work and serve those. And that's always amazing. And in fact, it was years ago, I worked in Palm Springs, and I did air conditioning refrigeration. I remember going to this mansion that was huge. Had so many air conditioning systems on it, you couldn't believe it. It was huge. And I was there working on all of them. And I happened to walk by the garage, and the garage was probably this size. Beautiful thing, garage. I was like, oh, this is nice, because I liked working on cars. It was carpeted. The garage was carpeted with white carpet. And he had a couple of cars sitting in there, and they're sitting on these little pads where they were under each tire. And I made a comment. See, I'm not too smart. Here I'm back down to that dull pencil. I go, wow. And the guy's the owner's there. And I go, this is really cool. Man, I could change my oil on carpet. Comfort instead of concrete. And he looks at me and goes, I don't change my own oil. Oh. I was just thinking, wow, that'd be nice to have carpet to lay on instead of cold, hard concrete. But so I was like, wow, okay. So I was one of those that would go into those areas that would work. Well, you think about that. God's doing this to show those who seem to be important, they can't accomplish their own salvation, though. Their own salvation. Because of their wisdom or their power or their importance, they're ineffective in realizing they have salvation from God if they ask. If they humble their heart, I can't do this. I don't have enough money. You've all heard the expression, there's no Hertz following us. Rental thing following a Hertz car. Hertz? Yeah, that armored car following the, what do they call it? Carries your casket. Hearse. Yeah, there you go. I got it. Sorry, folks. Sometimes I can, and I apologize for that. But God expects man to seek him. God expects this. And subject his life to God. And I think that's what's important. And God will do things in our lives that just keep drawing us closer. And everybody here could acknowledge that. There are things that happen in our lives that keep drawing us closer and closer to God. Where we're searching. You know, I think the prophet Isaiah, he talked about this. Chapter 1, verse 18 for me. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. When you humble your hearts and you come to the Lord, yeah, our sins are scarlet. Our sins are terrible. But when we come to the Lord, hey, you got to take care of this because we have no way of taking care of this, Lord. He said, I did. It's the cross. The cross takes care of everything. And then put up for me Isaiah 55:1, please. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Jesus is saying, hey, come to me, all who are thirst. I'll give you that spiritual water. That is the Holy Spirit. I think it is such an amazing factor that when we realize we can't save ourselves, we can't. But God can. And our heart becomes humbled. And we go to him and we ask for salvation. And what's he do? Gives it in full abundance. What a glorious God we have. What an amazing God we have. Think about this. God sent his son in the world to save those who confess that they can't save themselves. That's us. That's us. Those who want, who desire to live with God forever. Folks, I've tried to contemplate and figure out what heaven is going to be like. I don't think there's anything we can think or even dream up that'll even be compared to it. I just think it's going to be so overwhelmingly amazing that it'll blow our minds. We do desire to live with God forever. Put it for me, please. Mark 2:17. And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." When you realize you're a sinner, you're sick, you need a doctor. He's there. He's there. He's there. And that's what's amazing to me. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous sinners. The problem is so many people think they are the righteous. Because everyone is a sinner. And when your heart is humbled to the point that you realize that, you say, "Wow, no, I can't." Even people on their deathbeds or even getting close to death still won't come to that, humble their heart enough to come to that. And then God says, so that no human being may boast in the presence of God. He does all this. So that nobody can boast. God chooses a man according to God's grace. And not according to man's own merits. Here's where this whole message is really understanding. This is so man cannot boast that he gained salvation on his own. You can't go up there and say, "Well, you know, I did this. I'm here, I'm good." The world, you know, if you want to go up in corporations, you work your way up. Or unless you're the owner's son or something. You have to work your way up. We can't work our way up. In fact, if you think about that and you have corporations, you have the top guy, everybody is working to move up that pyramid, which contradicts the Christian life. Turn that pyramid upside down. As we continue to go, we want to serve more and more and more, serving all, raising everybody else up. That's what we want to do. It's interesting, and I understand this, and I think all of us do. Man has a little different thought process. We want to achieve everything on our own. Most people want to achieve everything. Look what I did. Look what I have. This is our nature. So many people think that they can work their way into heaven. There's one cult that you'll see, I saw on Friday or whatever. They're out on the sidewalks, they get a little stand and they sit there. Now they put their situations where nobody walks by them. But I know, and I knew one, the Jehovah's Witnesses. I know one, I worked with a guy. You do so many hours in a week, you get moved up. And I'd go, "Well, that don't make any sense." And hopefully, as we do, they used to come to my house. They don't anymore. I think they put it on their map. Don't go visit that guy. Because I wouldn't shut the door in their face. I'd say, "Right on. Let's talk about it. You came to my house. Let's talk. We got to go. Where do you got to go? You came to me." So it's interesting, though, but that's the way it is. People are working and earning their way up. And when you realize you can't, that's when your heart has been humbled and you need God for salvation. Very much so. Each person has to come to the truth, though. No matter how hard a person tries, you cannot save yourself. You cannot. And Paul's going through that and trying to reassure the Corinthians, hey guys, you weren't anything special, just like the rest of us. Don't start to think you're something special because this or this or this, or God has given you this gift. The way God saves man is done so that no person can boast. God did it all. When you think about salvation, God did everything. And all we have to do is believe upon Him. That's amazing. No one can boast. No one can boast. No one can do that. You have to have a humble heart to say, I can't do it. I'm here. God chose the exact opposite of man and his ways. We're not working our way up. We can't work our way into heaven. He does it the opposite way, by love and sacrifice. That's opposite of every man. Every corporation is not everyone, of course, but majority. It's not based on love and sacrificing for another. It's not. But God chose his followers. Praise God, we're part of those followers. Praise God for that. There are wealthy, powerful, outstanding people out there who are saved. Praise God. And God uses those. He uses them. And they're willing to be used. They know whatever they have has been given to them by God. And it's like, well, you gave it to me here. I'll just hand it on to the next one. Use it for your glory. They search the scriptures. And they've come to know the truth. And God has blessed them. And they use the blessing that they're given to bless many others. We need to understand that God didn't save man because people are lowly. No. God saves man because he loves man and wants him to spend eternity with him. And a man who will humble his heart, and man that knows that his only salvation is in Jesus Christ, is why God sent his son. Put it for me, please. James 4:10. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I want us to look at that really carefully. It's a very short verse. Humble yourselves. And then what does God say? A great promise. Think about this. God is going to exalt you. Wait a minute. God, you're going to exalt me? Shouldn't I always be exalting you, Lord? Humble yourselves before me, and I will exalt you. That's a promise coming that is beyond. In fact, actually, Scripture talks about it. We receive the crown. Wow. No. Wow. Think about that a minute. God's going to exalt you. It's amazing, isn't it? That is absolutely one of the most amazing things I think that can ever happen, is that God would do that. The last two verses that we're looking at here. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Salvation is of God's grace. And God's wisdom is in Jesus Christ. You want to know the wisdom of God? Jesus Christ. You're in Christ Jesus. God chose you to be in his son, Jesus Christ. Folks, do you realize what a special honor that is? I stand, I go, Lord, I don't get it. That's pure love. Pure love that he would want us to be with his son. It is through his son, Jesus Christ, that we have come to know God. That's how we can know God. Jesus Christ, through him. Christ is the wisdom of God, so that man can know the way to God, that man can know the truth of God, and that man can know the life of God. It is in Jesus Christ. It says here, to us, wisdom from God. Paul really wants us to understand when he said, to us, that's us, we're the church. He wants us to make sure all believers have a union with Christ. Jesus Christ was the Word to man. God sent His Son. Here's the Word to you. Look at Colossians 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, our hearts be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. Here's the mystery, which is in Christ. You want to know the mystery of God? Jesus Christ. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For Him, in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells. You want to know about mystery and wisdom and knowledge? It's Jesus Christ, knowing Him. Then you look at this and it says, for in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Jesus Christ is God. Period. When it says the whole fullness of deity dwells in Him, God dwelt in Him full. He is fully God. That's how you know God, is through Jesus Christ. Now, what's really amazing is that people want to distort this. That cult that I talked about, they denied who Jesus Christ is. All cults deny who Jesus Christ is. Right there, folks. Plain and simple. There have been, Cindy and I have driven to Riverside quite a bit. There's two signs that we have seen. And it's brought on by another one that's springing up all over. It says, Jesus is not God. What's that say? All the fullness of deity. Every cult that is not Christian, and there's only one Christian church, denies who Jesus is. As believers, you need to know it and understand. He is the fullness of God. To know God is to know Jesus Christ. Now, God wanted man to see exactly what He was like. So He sent His Son. This is what I'm like. This is me. And He expects man to live. How He expects man to live. So He sent His Son. Now watch what happens when one of the disciples asks Christ about a certain situation here. Go to John 14, 8 and 10, please. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. So, yeah, show me the Father, Lord. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long you still don't know me, Philip? Could God ask you that very same question? How long have you been a believer and you still don't realize that I am God, Jesus Christ? But then He says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. All the fullness of the deity. What's amazing, folks, is as believers, when you confess believing, the Holy Spirit comes into you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is in us, guess what? You want to talk about blessed? In that triune, we're invited in because of the Holy Spirit. Wow. God invites us into the close-knit group. That's amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. When man believes Jesus Christ as his Savior, God counts that man's faith as righteousness. All we have to do is believe. Believe that Jesus is the righteousness of God. And when we believe that He is the righteousness, He is in our lives, God says, you're righteous. Wow. And God accepts man's faith and has made us acceptable to Him because we believe. You're not earning it, folks. It is a free gift. It is a free gift. See, Jesus lived the perfect life, the ideal man, and He was to stand before God as man's representative. He's like our lawyer before the judge. The judge is Father. He's our lawyer, the Son. And you can come up and condemn me all you want. And Jesus goes, nope, this is mine. He's in. That simple. He believes. Therefore, God takes man's faith and counts it as man's sanctification. You've been sanctified in Christ. Because of that sanctification, God does something that is so amazing. He puts his Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. What an absolute, utter blessing that is. The Spirit, his Holy Spirit, comes into us. Christ is the redemption for man. And that shows the wisdom of God. Christ's death on the cross redeems man from sin, death, and punishment. Put it for me, Ephesians 1, verse 17. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Folks, we're living in a time of God's grace. Receive it, embrace it, grab hold of it. It's amazing. So if you want to boast, boast in the Lord. Don't boast in yourself. Humble your heart even more. God sending him into this world, his own son, should prompt everybody to worship God. What a boast that is. It should prompt every one of us to worship him. See, man has nothing to boast about in himself. Nothing. But we can boast in the Lord. Put it for me, Jeremiah 9, please. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So you want to boast? Boast in God. Not in your wealth, not in your power, not in your stature, not in anything. Think about this, folks. When we went into the working world, and people say, man, I worked, I accomplished all this. Well, who gave you the ability to do your job? Who gave you the job? Who gave you the transportation to get to that job? Who allowed that boss to hire you? Who put you into that position? Who spurred your heart to seek? Our hope is to boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. It's God has laid this on my heart. Psalm 37:4. It's not in any of the notes, folks. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. I hope your desire of your heart is to boast in the Lord, to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, to love the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What a crown to receive, huh? That's an amazing crown. Folks, what a blessing it is. We come before the Lord, humble our hearts. None of us are sharp, smart, strong, powerful, any of that kind of politically structured. Come before him with a humble heart. Scripture says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Let's pray. Father God, I just praise you and I thank you for this time we've had, Lord. And I ask right now, Lord, that your love, Lord, would encompass us even more, that you would draw every single one of us here now, Lord, closer to you, God. I praise you for that, God. I give you all glory and all honor, Lord. Help us, Lord. Lord, I even ask, Lord, that you would humble our hearts even more, Lord, that we may just come before you and worship you with more, Lord. Love and grace and thankfulness for your blessings, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. You've done so much for us, Lord, and you continue. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you. We thank you. So we praise you and thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If the worship team would come forward, please.